Well, good morning and welcome to Dr. Leonard's Pet Pointers. Just a little side note, a couple days ago it was spring, and believe me, this morning it's winter again from the looks of things. So enjoy it. My tulips were up about an inch on Tuesday when I saw them, but can't see them now for some reason. Today we're going to talk about spaying your dog and cat. Most of these things apply to both dogs and cats, so we're going to talk generically a little bit. First off, what is the surgery? People come in and say, well, what do you do? A spay in our office is a complete ovariohysterectomy, meaning we take the ovaries and the entire uterus out, clear back to the cervix. So there's absolutely nothing left, no way for them to come into heat again, no way for them to make your life miserable again. It is a complete ovariohysterectomy. There are other ways where you take just the ovaries out. There are ways where you tie the tubes. That's not what we do. We do a complete ovariohysterectomy. So why do we do it? Well, the most logical reason, it's coming into spring, believe it or not, despite today. And in the spring of the year, everybody wants to come into heat because they think, oh, it's getting warmer. The days are getting longer. It's time for me to get bred and have babies. So the most logical reason for spaying is so we don't have any baby puppies or kittens. The other reason is a disease process called pyometra. Pyometra is a disease where a bacteria is introduced into the uterus, usually when they're in heat. Then the cervix closes after heat and traps that bacteria, and it starts to grow. You get a giant bag of infection in the uterus. And that then becomes an emergency spay, an emergency ovariohysterectomy, which costs more than a hysterectomy. And also, it's much more life-threatening to your animal if it should happen to rupture. The largest pyometra that I have taken out of a dog weighed 4.5 pounds. That's bigger than some of your dogs. In relationship, the biggest one I've taken out was 10% of the dog's weight. So that would be a 20-pound dog that had a 2-pound uterus. So these things can get very big and they become very dangerous. The other reason is, especially in dogs, we deal with mammary tumors. Mammary tumors are estrogen generated. If you let your dog go through one heat period, your dog has about a 15% chance of developing mammary tumors by the time they're old and die of old age. If you let them go through 3 heat periods, you have about an 85 to 90% chance that they're going to develop mammary tumors before they die of old age. So, mammary tumors, pyometra, and no more babies are the reasons we do it. When do we do it? My recommendation is to do it after the first heat period, or after they're 7 months of age, whichever comes first. I like to let them go past a heat period because it's the only way we know that they're sexually mature. If they're sexually mature, we don't have to worry as much about osteoporosis when they get old. We don't have to worry about some of the arthritises when they get a little older. We don't have to worry as much about a leaking of urine when they get older. When I went through school, this is what we were taught. Now remember, I'm the old guy. I graduated in 1970, and the guys who taught me are basically all dead now, unfortunately. But they taught me because in the 50s, we did early spay-neutering. We're doing early spay-neutering again. But from the 1950s to the 1970s, that 20-year span, they decided that wasn't a good idea. Since all my instructors are dead, they're trying it all over again. History's repeating itself. So we recommend that you go through one heat period. That way we know for sure. So what do you do after the spay? After the spay, make sure we don't do a lot of running and jumping. That's big, because you do a lot of running and jumping, and that's the way to tear some sutures loose, tear some staples out. We do use staples in our business to close the skin. I like staples. They're very nice. They're very non-reactive. Most animals leave them alone and don't bother them a bit. Every so often, we'll have a cat that thinks they're toys, and they take them out as fast as we can put them in, and then we have to do things like put cones on them so they leave them alone. But for the most part, we get along extremely well with staples. So the aftercare is, hey, keep them quiet for a little bit. Worst thing you can do with a dog that's just been spayed is take it out and play Frisbee with it. Do not do that, please. Give them at least a month before you start playing Frisbee again. If you have a hunter, please get it done a month before the hunting season starts, and you should get along okay. What does it cost to have a spay? Well, to be real honest with you, $200 is going to do wonders for you. It's a little up or a little down. Most of the reason for variation in the cost of a spay is because of the anesthetic. The bigger the dog, the higher the anesthetic. We had a 140-pound dog the other day that we did anesthetic on, and believe me, his anesthetic bill alone was over $50. Could be a little over $200, depending on how big the dog is. One of the things that I think is important for you to continue to remember is that spaying is a good thing. We have plenty of animals in this world. We don't need any extras. When your female is out running around, she's not going to be picky and choosy. If she's a nice, beautiful lab who loves to hunt, she's not going to go look for a good lab. She's going to go look for the first guy who's willing. Keep your dogs contained. Do not attach them outside on a chain when they're in heat, because the boys will come from miles around to find your female dog in heat. So be careful. Get your animals spayed, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. This is Dr. Keith Leonard, Atlantic Animal Health Center at 243-2121. Give us a call if you need your dog spayed.